What happens if you fall in love? What?
Well, you don't believe that, do you?
It's love, it's not Santa Claus.
Well, what does that word even mean? I've been in relationships and I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, maybe that's...
And most marriages end in divorce these days. Like my parents.
Okay, mine too, but...
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
The lady doth-n't. There's no such thing as love, it's fantasy.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Okay, well, what is it that I'm missing then?
I think you know when you feel it.
I guess we can just agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Okay, who's singing next?
I nominate young Werther here.
I'm not nearly drunk enough to...
Bartender!
Hi and welcome to the Odd Movie Podcast. Oh, this is Andrew.
This is Damien. A sleepy Damien.
And this is Douglas.
You might want to get closer to the mic.
Because I'm way far away from this microphone.
Yeah. This is going to be one of those great podcasts. I can feel it.
You're right. Getting closer to the microphone. I have to not lean on the wall.
So we must be we must be thankful, because not only are we having a podcast, but Damien is actually here. And added to that, we have the return of the questions. So, for those of you out there who may have missed this feature for like a month now, we've just not been doing the questions. The whole point of it is there is no point. I will ask Damien and Douglas.
No, we're trying to better inform
exactly.
The public.
We have limitless knowledge about movies, and there's people out there that know nothing, and we need to inform them. Why else would we be doing this podcast? Otherwise, we'd just be talking to each other. No one wants to hear that.
Damien goes out to the internet and farms these questions from Yahoo Answers, right?
Pretty much.
And I pose it to Damien and Douglas, and whoever comes up with the best answer gets a point. At the end of the show, whoever has the most points gets to do the outro, which generally means Douglas does the outro, because Damien refuses to. But we'll see if we can eventually get Damien to do one. We're going to start out the show with a question, and the first one is, what do you think of the new what do you think of the new Spider-Man movie, in brackets, remake?
What do you think of the new Spider-Man
movie? What do I think? Well, first of all, I think that name alone is quite the tongue twister. but other than that, it's a remake, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not the original.
How has this person seen the new Spider-Man movie? Isn't it coming out next year?
Okay. No.
Look, and
if you know, it's Spider-Man, isn't it?
Right.
It's, you know, on the intertubes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, since MIT cured the cold, I thought they had moved on to time travel. And this guy got access to that machine, went into the future, saw the movie. But why would he ask the question in the past? I don't understand. Is he trying to confuse us?
But didn't you know the internet is a time machine?
All right, let me. I'm always going to guess some things here about the movie. He's going to start out a punk. Some spider is going to bite him. And then he's going to get powers, and you'll have to defeat someone.
Why do you think it's going to be a spider? Why not like a cockroach?
Cockroach man.
That's why. Cockroach man is so very good.
Well, it could just be the cock. You know?
Cock man.
No, it could just be the cock. That's his name. Or maybe...
The roach?
The dick?
I don't think...
How does dick come into this? Andrew, stop. Really, that's okay. Dirty.
You shouldn't be answering any of these questions. I'm just going to give this movie a 6 out of 10. Use my clairvoyance.
No, I watched it.
Oh, you did?
Or I will watch it.
Oh,
and I'm
fine.
Pretty sure that from what I will see,
right.
I gave this movie about a 9 out of 10.
Is that like the general scale or on the Gilliam Momento?
Is Terry Gilliam doing this movie? Do you know something that we... Did Gilliam take over?
I didn't see that part. Maybe he did. Was he in a cameo? Is that what it is, Andrew? Did you see something different from me? Did you see like an extended cut?
He was the guy
in the future remake. After they made the three new amazing Spider-Man, they have to start over, obviously.
Or hold on, maybe he's like the Bruce Campbell type of fight. Is that what it is? I don't understand.
I'm going to give the point
my
to Damian.
My only question is, will Johnny Depp be in the future remake? The second trilogy is done when they're rebooting it the third time. Because Johnny Depp is now 50 and he's still in movies.
Mm-hmm.
When is he going to stop?
Well, there are a lot of old people in movies.
Yes, but he still thinks he's young. He's not.
And moving on, because I'm tired of listening to you two talk.
Hey,
point to Damien and we move on. What we've been watching this week.
Okay.
It's actually what we've been watching for the last 2 weeks because we didn't record last week. I saw a lot of films that Damien will applaud. He'll be like, Andrew watched old movies.
The last podcast I wasn't here, you talk shit about Vanishing Point. And I don't know where you heard anyone say Vanishing Point was a good movie. No one has ever said that. No one has ever said that. When you hear Vanishing Point, what do people talk about? The car, and that is it. No one does it. That movie shouldn't even have actors. The acting in that movie is so bad, it should be considered a war crime. But the driving sequences and that car is amazing, and that is all that matters. I don't know, what movie were you reviewing?
I was reviewing Vanishing Point.
You're a stupid fellow.
The one that lasted around 80 minutes.
Yeah,
had people in between.
Like
no, right. I wasn't even going to bring that up. Andrew's a lunatic. He also gave Rise of the Star or the Planet of the Apes of Tomorrow, Dumb or some whatever. I don't even know what he named. But he gave that a 9, which is impossible. Unless he saw a different movie than I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Because the movie I saw.
You went to watch it?
Is as far away from a 9 as pretty much any other movie review. It's not a 9. It's not, I mean, if it is a 9 out of a 20 point scale, even then it's still too high. Out of 10, there's no fucking way. There's no way. Please, I don't even want to hear you defend yourself. I don't want to fight you right now.
You're too tired.
Too tired.
Too tired.
I'll do that next week.
I'm sure we'll find reasons to fight very soon. One movie I saw this week was The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring one Walter Houston. My mind mixed up the name. Humphrey Bogart, and I can't remember who the third guy is, directed by John Huston, about these three...
No relation to Walter, is it?
Yes, there is.
Really?
Yes. It's John Huston's father.
I didn't know that.
Why does it take me so long to pick up on sarcasm?
That's a very good question. Like you've never spoken to Mayor Douglas before.
is it
quite
like
amazing. Exactly.
At work, people like have told me already, they're like, Douglas, you're really sarcastic.
I hear that a lot.
And I think to myself, what if they meant David? Yeah.
Right, so Treasure of Sierra Madre. This movie is honestly really, really good. I enjoyed...
Where's a butt?
Is there always a butt? Is that how this game works?
I don't know, but I just hear it.
Yeah,
I hear it. You said honestly,
yeah.
Really, really,
really
like... That's too many.
Trying
adjectives.
To justify something so that when you say something stupid,
it takes it all away.
I always point back to the point where, oh, no, but I said I liked it. Even though I'm saying nonsense, no. So remember the first part. Alright, so you like.
Really like this movie. The whole point it drives home about what money can. How riches feed into greed and what it does to a man. throughout this travel. I mean, they're wonderfully best friends until finally they strike gold and they actually have a lot of money on hand and people start to turn coat left, right, and center. You see which characters are... You see their true virtues. Humphrey Bogart is the guy who will do anything for the money and won't trust anyone. The old guy is like, you know what, I'm old, I'm happy with this, I'll move on. While the other one is perfectly honest and he's like true to his form. He says, this is my money, that's yours, and that's yours. That's how it's going to stay. As much as, sure, I'd like more money, that's how it's going to be. However...
Sorry, what was that?
It was however, not but. It was however.
I'm pretty sure I heard that.
With all due respect.
With all due respect. I said with all due respect. My slight problem with the movie is it took too long for me for the movie to finally get to the point of being in the mountain and the three men being...
You do realize that there's people who have no idea what this movie is, right? And you're doing a horrendous job of painting a word picture of this movie. You said, let's try gold, and it take too long for them to get to the mountain. No idea.
She's coming around the mountain.
She comes.
I know the movie you're talking about and that description. Terrible description.
Okay, you want a description? Humphrey Bogart is a bum in some town in some country somewhere far away from America.
In all the gin joints in the world.
And he meets a couple other bums, one of which is a really old dude who knows stuff about prospecting.
Ah.
And then after Humphrey Bogart wins a lottery, they decide to go off with the winnings to go and prospect and try and make more money, to which they are in the mountain, as I said, and turn coat left, right, and center and madness. I felt it took a little too long to get to the mountain. But that's about it. I think it's one of Bogart's most interesting roles that I've seen him in. I know I haven't seen much to really say that, but because in this movie, he's truly unlikable. There's nothing to like about him. And it's not just that he is the bad guy at the end of the day. It's almost everything about him that you just don't like. And I found that really interesting from, you know, the Hollywood star point of view. Other movies I saw The Beaver, starring one Mel Gibson and Jodie Foster. It's her directorial debut. Jennifer Lawrence is also in this movie, and she's really, really pretty. We're going to talk about a movie later called Hesher, which deals with the same topic in a different manner. And how these movies differ is the fact... Huh?
Really?
Yes, grief and depression and all of those things. How these movies differ, in fact, is that in The Beaver, it feels like it's always reaching for that emotional point, but never actually grasps at anything. And at the end of the day, you just hate the fact that you spent 110 minutes with this movie, or however long it is. I hope Jodie Foster keeps directing, because she's a great actress, and from this movie you can tell that she will be a good director, because there are some points which are...
There's a gap in logic. Oh, she's a great actress, so I hope she keeps directing. What? Not sure. Alright.
But overall, the movie wasn't that great. What else do I want to talk about from
Mel Gibson's performance?
I found it slightly hilarious that his Australian accent was a beaver. That's about it. I do like the fact that when the movie came to its resolution, it decided to go to the darker side rather than most movies. You know, the run-of-the-mill movie, which feels like, oh, we finally have to give you a happy ending. It gave you a happy ending, but it took a dark route to get there. Otherwise, I saw Winnie the Pooh, the new movie, animated film.
I'm sorry, the what?
The new animated film.
I don't know what it's
about. Winnie the Pooh. and I loved it.
Who hated this?
It's a 65 minute episode of Winnie the Pooh.
And people say we don't have enough Winnie the Pooh in the Disney vault, we need to make more.
It's amazing. I mean, the only thing that annoyed me was the fact that they're making more Winnie the Pooh. That the guy who was doing Tigger wasn't anywhere close to the original Tigger voice. What really helped was something that Damien doesn't like Douglas for saying. Zooey Deschanel did some songs for the soundtrack and it was kind of nice.
Don't tell me that.
She even did the Winnie the Pooh song.
Don't. You're going to make me watch this.
Oh, sorry. So that's why you watch it. You heard that Zooey Deschanel sang some songs for Winnie the Pooh and went, oh, let me go and watch this abomination of a cartoon.
Look, I love this movie because of nostalgia. I know it and I believe myself.
Watch the new Thundercats and get back
to what movie? What?
The new Thundercats.
Actually, I did watch the new Thundercats cartoon. I watched the first episode, which was their origin story that they made up, which was kind of bad. And then after that they went into episodic and I stopped there. I'm like, you know what, I'm done. I've seen what rubbish you're going to do.
The whole Thundercats was so much. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't. It's just
yes,
bad.
It was. My goggles are on.
I'm having fun.
Ooh, I guess one more movie I should talk about is Fire in Babylon. I finally saw Fire in Babylon, the new documentary, new British documentary about the West Indies cricket team.
Interviewing Rasta people that didn't play cricket.
When I talked about Get a Life,
I'm going back to
I mentioned the fact that movies...
You mentioned the fact that the story was good in theory. That's what you mentioned. Because you're a lunatic.
Movies start out at a handicap whenever they're talking about things which everyone watching it already knows about. And that's the handicap that Fire in Babylon started out with.
Sorry. Hold on. One second.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that Fire in Babylon, a show about a sport that 99% of the world's population probably does not watch, started off with a handicap because everybody knew about the subject matter?
Yep, pretty much.
Just making sure that this is where we started off.
Although, to be fair, this movie is aimed at two places, England, which watch a lot of cricket,
yeah,
and Jamaica,
which
then I don't think they care about any of the other markets. Pretty sure America is going to jump on board. Hey, let's fire up a $200 million marketing push for this Fire in Babylon movie. Think we can get cricket popular in the US? It worked well. David Beckham worked well for soccer. Oh no, I didn't.
Did you just say soccer?
Yep, because that's what they call it. Did you enjoy the documentary?
I thought it was a relatively okay documentary. I personally didn't enjoy it that much because I knew what they were talking about, more or less.
But what? You thought it was okay, but you personally didn't enjoy it. So, so you and you personally are two different people?
Pretty much. It's G-Man.
I don't quite
Okay. Let me try and explain this to you. Let me try and explain this to you because I know you're really just trying to mock me as opposed to understand. So I'm going to pretend like I don't hear the mocking half of this and explain it to you.
Please do.
Right?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
I
name the podcast Andrew Explains. Oh Lord.
If I didn't know anything this movie was telling me, I could tell that it put across its points, therefore being an okay documentary. But I knew what it was talking about, so I sat there for the 90 minutes just going, okay, 20 more minutes. Yup, it's done. Why didn't you guys go past 1995? I know why, because it's funny after then. And you just want to laugh at me now. So I'm going to...
I watch a lot of sports documentaries. I know pretty much everything that happened. And I still enjoy them.
Funny enough, after I watched this movie, I spoke to my father, who has been shouting at me to watch this movie because he went to the premiere out here and loved it, obviously. Because
he's a lunatic.
No, because it's his...
No, because he's a crazy.
Yeah, whatever. And immediately I went to him, and I asked him what he knew about F1 racing, if anything at all. Right? And he said pretty much nothing. So I handed him Senna, and I'm waiting to hear back on his thoughts on that documentary.
Too long, didn't watch.
So hopefully I'll hear him say things like Senna was better and I'll feel happy. But I guess that's pretty much all I really want to talk about. There's a lot of movies that I saw in the last 2 weeks, but I really can't talk about
them. Have you started watching Luther?
I completed the first two seasons of Luther.
Only two seasons of
Luther. And that show is pretty fantastic. But herein lies my only quibble with the show. I love Idris Elba. What are we going to do when podcast goes virtual? Are you going to pick up? Are you going to start?
That's why the Lord invented nuclear weapon.
You just have the button. I press the button, and the bomb is armed.
Of course.
I love the first episode. But I feel like Alice should have ended at the end of that first episode.
Well, I guess I can start off with. I've actually watched quite a bit now that I look at my.
Because it's been two like weeks.
No, actually, the funny thing is, all of this was during the first week.
Are you unemployed?
I haven't really watched anything in the second week.
Douglas, did you get fired? No.
He's going to be soon. Don't worry.
Continue.
I got a job. He has to be fired soon. Yeah, that's how the rule works.
Yeah, the cycle.
Anyway, I've been watching a lot of Rurouni Kenshin or Samurai X for those of you in the English speaking portion of the world.
I think it's episode 32 to 64.
That's a shishio. Arc.
Yeah. Right. Just the good parts.
Actually, no. I've decided that I'm going to watch the whole thing.
No.
And so I watched. I've been skipping the ones that I remember most because I've watched pretty much. I've watched a significant amount of these episodes already. But I've gone through, I think, the first like 25 to 30 episodes. So I'm about to get into
to where it gets great.
Yeah. And of course, the show's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I have a little filler, but you know, I can allow it.
He's very good at chopping shit.
Yes, he is. also started watching, thanks to Children's Hospital, I watched NTSF. SD:SUV:.
And what does that stand for?
Actually, it does stand for something. Something like National Terrorist Squad Force San Diego Sports Utility Vehicle. The SUV actually does stand for Sports Utility Vehicle.
That's amazing.
This is a show on Cartoon Network on Adult Swim. It's starring one of the leads from The League, which is another show that I really enjoy. And it was only okay, unfortunately, even though it tries to be ridiculous. And it just kind of, it overreaches. And so I watched the first like 3 or 4 episodes and it just wasn't that great. But of course, it's playing on that whole CSI / NCIS, ABCDE kind of thing, right? I also started watching Kenny vs. Spenny, which is, I think it's a Canadian television show, essentially about these two guys. One is Kenny and one is Spenny. Right?
Of course.
Kenneth and Spencer, if you are not very close with them. And they, essentially, it's one big, I don't want to say fight, but it's a competition show where each show has a theme. Where they have to do something better than the other person. Like the episode that I watched was the one where, unfortunately, it wasn't the first episode, so it messed up with my DVD or whatnot. But I watched the episode where they had to put on blindfolds for 3 days and see who would be the longest to do it. And Spenny looks like the innocent one of the two. And so he actually said, all right, I'm going to get this done. He put on his hockey gear with his pads and everything because he didn't want to, you know, bump into things. And he had his stick and everything. And he put on his blindfold. Kenny, of course, put on his blindfold while Spenny was looking and immediately took it off. But he didn't tell anybody else. So Spencer, of course, spent the whole 3 days with his blindfold on, getting humiliated by Kenny. And there's something to that. It's very reality TV show. It's very cheesy male testosterone kind of thing, but it's definitely worth a watch when you don't really have much to do and you kind of want some light entertainment. So it's not horrible. Additionally, I have been watching, I watched the last season of How Not to Live Your Life, which is a British comedy starring Dan somebody, I can't remember his name, Dan Clark maybe, who I kind of fell in love with the show when it started on BBC, and for some reason, I did not actually realize that this third season had aired. I had to find out because I was watching another TV show and then it said something along the lines of, and up next is How Not to Live Your Life. And I was like, really? I thought they had cancelled that. So, of course,
yeah,
I have officially watched all three seasons. And it's as bad and yet as likable for me as the first two seasons were. So, I'm fine with that. I enjoyed it.
What is it about though?
Oh, okay, so that is, it's literally about How Not to Live Your Life. It's like, it's a sitcom where this guy, played by Dan Clark, his grandmother dies, and he's a bit of a dickhead. And everybody knows him as the dickhead. And his grandmother, since she has no other living relatives, has to leave all of her possessions to him for some reason. And so she leaves him her house and I guess whatever else she has, and so he lives in his house and it essentially centers around him, his grandmother's carer, who for some reason never actually leaves the house and begins caring for him, and an assortment of roommates that he has over the seasons who are all very hot women that he would like to have sex with.
Of course
Yeah, generally all have boyfriends who don't want him to have sex with their girlfriends.
Not part of the plan.
So it's plausible.
Yeah, and it's, and I'm going to say it's great television because it's not, but I enjoy it, right? And that's about as much as I can say for that, because I know that for the distinguished individual, this is not a good television show, but it's fun for me. So after that now, after all the TV, I've watched one movie this week, and that movie, I'm pretty sure we can all say that we've watched it. It's Beaver. Did you watch it, Damon?
Yeah.
No, okay, well then it's just me and Andrew.
Absolutely.
I watched Beaver, and unlike Andrew, I actually kind of liked this movie.
Ah.
I liked it more than kind of. I thought it was not pretty, but it was better than average.
Okay.
I can definitely pull out the list. The acting was pretty decent. The directing was very good. I liked the
Who
the
should
scenes.
I believe?
But Andrew,
he watches movies for soundtracks.
Andrew kind of goes
line it at it. Lights, bullets.
You see, the funny thing is, Andrew kind of, what Andrew talked about disliking was, it made no sense to me. So you said you didn't like this movie because it was a little bit lighter than Hesha, is that what you said? Or something along those lines? I'm sorry, I just tried to literally try and remember what he said. Because I remember thinking, what the hell is he saying?
It never quite reached what it was, what the emotional note it was going for.
Alright, so I don't think it was actually going for an emotional note. Yes, it's a very sad. No, it's not a very sad story. Yes, it's a story about a very sad individual. And yes, he's crazy and decides to use a puppet to live his life. But I think that that is what we call dark humor, right? I found it more funny than it was sad. And
but the movie wasn't funny. It wasn't supposed to be funny.
That movie was funny.
It was kind of like when we saw the trailer, right? I was laughing at the trailer because I'm like, what the fuck is Mel Gibson doing with a puppet on his hand, right? But when you realize watching it, it's not funny. It's not meant to be funny. It's not funny at all. He's a sad man doing this to try to come out on the other end and realizes that the way he's going doesn't really get him out on the other end.
And that's funny. But anyway, no, I actually found, especially his scenes, I mean, it's kind of hard not to find a guy faking an Australian accent with a puppet of a beaver on his hand giving instructions
Australian.
To a deputy CEO, not funny.
He's Australian. How is he faking his own accent?
No, you know what I mean, though,
I
in the context of the movie. But, yeah, no, this movie, I think, yes, it had serious points. And, of course, you can't take that away from the film. I think it did pretty decently on the serious points, except you pointed out one flaw with it, and I'm with you. The ending, you said there was a dark vehicle to get to that happy ending, and you're absolutely right, and I actually didn't like that dark vehicle at all. I thought that the route that they took was a little bit... Now bear with me.
As he tries not to spoil the movie.
It was a little bit insane. Yes, I know. This is coming from an insane person as the lead, right? But I think it didn't... I just don't see why they had to do what happened.
No, keep saying what you're saying.
I didn't like what they did, and they alluded to it for a good long time before. And by long, I don't mean like, you know, two acts before. I mean like a couple of minutes before, and I kept looking at it and I'm like, no, you're not going to do what I think you're going to do. And in the end he did it. And
he shot the puppet.
Exactly, right?
He
shot it in the head.
The face.
But it's just, I don't know. In the end, this movie is it has two sides to it. It has what I feel is a dark humor. It also has, as you said, Andrew, the heartstrings pulling. It has the drama section of it, especially when you're looking at the way that they deal with the relationship between the son, who, by the way, is Anton Yelchin.
Which means you have to love
exactly,
the movie.
Right? I have to love this movie. But the son, Anton Yelchin, and the father, Mel Gibson, that relationship is rocky at best. And they kind of... I think especially... when Anton Yelchin is alone and what you see him do and his kind of inner thoughts that you get an eye into, that's a really good... Those are some really good moments. But all in all, I think this movie was pretty decent. I'm not going to say that it was the greatest movie ever. I would give it, say, a 7.5. 7.5.
Do you think that Mel Gibson is going to find a way under... a way out from under his anti-Semitism?
It's difficult if, even after this movie that got a lot of buzz, still hasn't really propelled him to anything, it's going to be very hard for him. Especially since he had a separate issue after this movie was filmed. So even though you're seeing it, and right after you see it, he's in hot water again. So that's going to be rough for him. But we'll see. He is a really good actor. And he chooses his roles... Well, I don't want to say he chooses his roles well, but the roles that I've seen him in, I love. So, I kind of would like to see him get big again, but at the same time, I'm sure people are going to hate me for that, because apparently that would...
Let's not think about those people.
But I like him. I like most of the movies that I've seen him in.
Oh, so you've met Mel Gibson the person?
No, I've...
So we don't care about Mel Gibson. I only know Mel Gibson after, and that's all I care about.
You just want more Mad Max, don't you?
I mean, as soon as... if some big blockbuster comes out and he's supporting our lead role, all this nonsense disappears. Some people remember, but no one cares.
Yeah, but I don't know how easy it will be be easy.
No, I don't think it'll
now.
Be easy, but as soon as it happens, it happens.
Anyways, Damon, what have you been watching?
Alright, I've been watching a lot of White Collar. Still enjoy it. When I started watching this, I watched the other episode, and I didn't really think that there was an arc in any of the... But I started from season one, and there is an arc, and it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great, but enjoy it, and I'll continue to watch it. And if you have an hour on your hands, and there's no Breaking Bad going on, you might as well.
But there is Breaking Bad going on.
Shut up. Don't watch Breaking Bad until it's
Breaking
the season
Bad.
Is done.
Breaking Bad is great, by the
way. Oh, thanks. I didn't.
Gus is in it.
I was going to.
The last episode was really awesome.
I was worried that it would have taken a nosedive. So thanks. Of course, it's good. Why would you say that? What's wrong? I saw Jane Eyre.
I saw that as well.
I've been meaning to watch
Carrie Fukunaga. It's second movie, right?
Did you catch the Gordon and the Whale logo?
Right.
Does he know what Gordon and the Whale logo looks like?
So, Fassbender and...
Wasikowski.
Maya Wachkowski, right?
She's a terrific actress, and I like her a whole lot. And I enjoy this movie a lot. I've seen some of the other juniors. There's like a billion of them at this point. And I think this one is my favorite, partially through bias, because I'm a huge Fassbender fan.
I thought his name was Fassbottom.
And recency, barring a word from Andrew. And recency.
Recency.
Fassbottom
and his recency. Fassbottom
and his recency. I like the fact that they focus on the relationship between Jane Eyre and Fassbender. I don't remember his name, and I don't care.
Was it like Mr. Darcy or something?
No idea.
By the way, according to Google, recency is a word, a time immediately before the present.
Time immediately before the present.
That is not what we were using that word for. Andrew, even if it is a word, what you were using it as, that's not the right word. But never mind any other. I think everyone should watch Jane Eyre. It's really good. You should give it. It's not that long. I only have one issue: the switch between him falling in love with her is a bit quick. But you forgive it. It's a good movie.
So you kind of brushed over it, but I'm going to push it anyways. Did
sure.
you see the Gordon and the Whale logo? You know what, you know the website Gordon and the Whale, right?
No.
Well, it's another movie website which
yes.
I like to read.
Yes, I know. I've heard of Gordon and the Whale. I just don't know.
All right, so apparently Carrie Fukunaga took a liking to Gordon and the Whale, the website, especially their logo, and promised them back when he did his first movie Sin Number that when his next movie comes out, he's going to find some way to put the logo into that movie, like a sticker on a wall or something. Lo and behold, he finds out his next movie is a period piece. And he did good on his promise. And in the movie, there is a moment where you can visibly see the Gordon and the Whale logo.
Sorry, hold on.
How does this
where you can visibly see the logo?
Not you cannot... Look here. You cannot visibly touch.
I'm going to audibly.
You cannot visibly touch the logo, alright? Clearly, you visibly see. What's wrong with you?
Right, and that moment.
And then I'm going to reverse back.
Yes.
And
I don't know.
Revert back.
Sorry.
And for all of you people who have seen the movie, it comes at around the hour and a half mark.
One question.
Okay.
Does it make the movie any better?
No, but it's just a little tidbit.
Are you being paid by Gordon and the Whale?
Yes, Chase sent me a check.
I being paid
no,
by
you're
Gordon
not.
Douglas, are you being paid by Gordon and the Whale?
Well, they're going out of business, so I don't think they can afford that.
I just thought it was really cool because, I mean, they somehow threw it into a period piece.
You ruined my review. Tell me that there's Easter egg in a movie. There's Easter eggs in every movie, Andrew.
No, they're not. You telling me there's Easter eggs in like that Hop movie?
What, that Hop movie?
Hop. Yeah.
I knew he was going there. Saw the gears working. I knew it.
Right, so Damon, you were talking about this movie. I interrupted you.
No, I'm done.
What else have you been watching?
I came here and heard Andrew listening to this podcast, How Did It Get Made? With some people.
Paul Scherer.
And some other people.
I love that podcast.
Did you say
and
Paul Scherer?
Yeah.
Does he not play football for Manchester?
Paul Scherer.
That's enough of that.
And that's Alan Shearer. And he wasn't for Man U, he was for Newcastle.
I don't know these things.
What they do is they talk about terrible movies and marvel in the fact that these movies were ever made. And I, like an idiot, took up the challenge for some of these movies. Movies that I hadn't seen and could not believe were as bad as Cher and his friends were making them out to be. Movies like The Love Guru. Now guys,
I thought that was like one of the funniest episodes I did. That and Fast Five.
I'm going to do a complete 180. Love Guru is a terrific movie.
Are you being serious at all?
It isn't airborne because it's really horrendous. But somehow it has found a way around. Much like how Airborne found its way around back to goodness. Love Guru is so atrocious.
So it found itself back to goodness and then
literally, literally went back to atrocious. It is truly one of the worst movies that have ever been put to film. There is nothing redeeming about this movie at all.
Do you know when's the first time I watched that movie the year it came out? Do you know when's the first time I laughed at that movie?
Never.
When the end credits came and that one little blooper reel came up.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch that movie.
They talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, they did, but I couldn't bring myself to watch it. First of all, I didn't watch all the movie because at some point, my body physically couldn't take that much nonsense. And then I decided to watch Crank 2.
But you've seen that movie, haven't you?
I love that movie.
Because I don't remember anything about Crank 2.
For good reason. You remember,
right.
What you should remember is the beginning sequence when he wakes up, and then that's the rest you can forget. And the fact that they somehow shoehorned
right.
in the public sex scene
right.
into the movie.
No, guys,
that's it.
I may have said Crank and Crank 2 were good movies before. I was wrong.
They're great.
They
movies.
Aren't. They shouldn't even be called movies.
Actually, this first one is kind
of
bad.
Both of them are
the
pretty.
One is
no, they are horrendous movies.
I saw that.
I mean, they're not even.
It's great.
They're not even kind of sort of good. Not even a little bit, Douglas.
It's airborne.
Full body
no,
turrets.
No,
full body turrets.
No.
Full body turrets.
Right. But there's a Godzilla scene with someone that looked like Jason Statham and somebody else that didn't look like the person Jason Statham was fighting. It is stupid. Aggressively so. And no one should ever watch. After watching Crank, I gave up. I was going to do more, but I realized that there's a reason this podcast exists. It is to save me from doing what I was attempting to do. And so to make myself feel better, I watched two movies that I should have watched a long time ago. Again, I watched Brothers Bloom. Sweet Jesus, that movie's awesome. I don't understand how more people haven't seen that movie. More people need to see this movie. It should have made zillions of dollars. It's really good. I think if they'd have marketed that movie more, a lot of people would have seen it and had a good movie to enjoy. And I rewatched Brick because I hadn't seen that in forever.
It's been a while since I watched that movie.
It's still good, but it's not in HD.
No,
it's
isn't.
And I have two things to say about that. Guys, Scarface isn't in HD.
Isn't it? I thought
no,
it got a Blu-ray release.
It's supposed to come out September. I literally thought that I had an HD version of Scarface. My mother said to me, Damien, do you have Scarface? I said, of course I have Scarface. Scarface is amazing. And I started looking, and I only had DVD. I went, something must be wrong here. I know I have Scarface in HD.
Yeah.
And that's impossible because it doesn't exist.
I have the 25th edition.
In what?
Of course.
I don't want to watch
it. At the time, SD was like the greatest.
All right, because I'm sure you've seen it, right?
What?
The 30s Scarface. You've seen that, right?
No.
You
I
haven't?
I only watch good movies.
Sorry.
I'm joking. I've never seen it.
You've never seen it? Okay. I've been meaning to watch it forever. I wanted to know if it compared at all to...
I don't want to tarnish the Scarface that
yeah,
I love.
I've seen clips of it, and it feels to me like a bad movie.
Yeah. that is really why I don't really want to watch it. But I rewatched Scarface in SD, and for about 50 minutes, I was annoyed. Because it was not in HD. But then he said he would crush a you cockroaches. And I was just on board after that.
Pick up the
guys.
I haven't watched that movie in a long while.
It's so fucking good. It's so good. And Al Pacino, I know I've said many harsh things about you. And your recent choices in acting.
The thing about it is there's like a line. A line beyond which Al Pacino did not cross. Right? And that line was in, say, 95, 97,
yeah.
Somewhere around
but
there.
Guys, he gave us Godfather and Scarface.
In the 70s.
It doesn't matter when, Douglas. He has residual benefits. I have to give him the benefit of the doubt. I have to hope that one day he'll give me a performance as good as that again. I found out that there's people that don't like Scarface. I call those people fucking
there
idiots.
There are some crazy people in the world. Don't listen to them.
Oh my god. I saw a bad review. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? 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 No?
You know what? I can tell you what was in the bad review. The movie was over long.
No.
They never said that? Okay. These people are crazy then. What did they say?
They said no Cubans were... None of the actors were Cuban. It's pretty much
except at the end. Except at the end when they came to take over their movie.
That's pretty much the biggest threat.
Okay.
That there weren't any Cubans. In
I look like I give a shit.
They're all that the movie's racist or something.
Do you know what's my favorite part of the movie? Watching that guy who plays Tony Montana's friend, Al Pacino's friend, and remembering he was in Gleaming the Cube.
Yeah. His name is Manny.
I think say hello to my little friend. Everybody's favorite line, so I'm going to say ignore what you just
told
said.
Told you to say you're in sanitation, not a sanitarium.
I crush on your cockroach.
I got that Mark eating pussy.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Alright, that's pretty much all that stuff. A bunch of good movies that everyone should rewatch. Bloom, Scarface, and Brick. Never watch anything that is on the whole. Did it get made?
But listen to that podcast. It's a really good podcast. I like it.
Just listen to our podcast. We're better than this. We're better than them.
We should invite them to like a podcast.
Yeah.
Off.
Yeah.
Paul Scheer versus Douglas.
Your podcast versus my podcast. See who wins.
We'll get Adam Scott on that week.
Adam Scott?
Yeah. He was on one episode.
Adam Scott, I like
the guy from Party Down and
yes, the like celebrity.
Alright.
You think you're gonna get celebrities on this podcast? I don't understand. I tried to get Duncan Jones on once and he like flat out denied the past.
So trailers this last couple weeks.
Seconds.
Oh shit, there are questions. Whoops.
Questions, yeah, the questions.
Right, questions. I would read this one, but this one isn't a question, so I'll skip that one. Is it normal to be turned on by the human centipede, Douglas?
My first question is, does the human centipede go up any sort of erogenous zone? Is it used for any sort of...
Alright.
What? Oh, why is Damien like laughing instantly?
When I saw this question, I fell off my chair, and then I took it to the Google, right?
To the Google.
I typed in sex and human centipede.
Oh shit,
and
no.
And guys, there is a porn parody of this movie.
Are you
now
serious?
I'm going to give you a chance
to guess
the name.
Hold on. No, first of all, I need to ask about, logistics here, right?
No,
is
no,
it
no,
that
no.
they're having sex
no, no, no,
in
no, no,
centipede
no, 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 no.
position?
As soon as you tell me, what's the name
of
the movie?
The human fucktipede?
Negative. You're close though. You, sir.
I have no clue. My mind does not work.
Human
centipede. I was that close.
And I realized at that point that Google is A, too powerful, and B, a window to a world that I should never have. As long as I am alive, Google will know that I had typed that. So when the police come to get me,
it'll be there in your history.
You'll know it's because I typed human centipede and sex into Google. Now I looked at pictures of this movie, and it is the most ridiculous. It's literally a line of people having sex. It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
How many people do they get in the line?
I didn't look at that many pictures. I was too busy laughing.
Did they do the conga?
I have no idea. I couldn't bring myself to even steal in that movie. Because again, Google would have it on record. And when police come...
Is it all oral or is there any sort of penetration?
I'm sure you can type it into your own browser.
But then the police will come for me.
Now the fact that there is someone that typed that as a question, right? And the fact that there are people who thought enough of that to make an entire movie out of it, to me is amazing. And is why mankind needs to end. I think that's it. We've gotten to the limit. There's nothing else. We've done everything. Can call it a day now.
I guess at the end of this round, I have to say Douglas got a point because Damien decided to take questions seriously, which is always against the rules. You can't do it that way.
Human sexy. God.
So you guys are tied.
Thank God.
Trailers this week. Last couple weeks, one trailer that hit the internet was one for The Sitter, which is a new R-rated comedy starring Jonah Hill.
Those always do well.
In which he babysits three little children but wants to have sex with some drunk woman all across town.
He's not really having any sex.
This is Slater, Blythe, and Rodrigo.
My real babysitter, Nancy. She does what I want her to do.
I'm not a real babysitter. I'm more of a sit on the couch.
What's up, you little tampon?
Do whatever I say or I'll kill you type of babysitter.
Ah! You sprayed perfume in my mouth.
I hate you.
I fucking hate you too. I'll destroy you.
Ah! Motherfucker!
Douglas, I know you have something to say about this movie.
Blowjob jokes. Always hilarious.
Uh-huh. So, I've seen this movie before. Not because I can travel in the future.
Oh, because?
But because,
They've made this movie already. PG-13 version of this.
It's called Adventures of the Babysitter, or something like that. It stars Elizabeth Shue and Thor. and
it's not very
my
good.
One thing. Oh, don't you dare!
I'll fight you on this one. Where exactly was that movie good?
Which movie?
In my mind, when I was like five.
Fine.
And you have to also take what I say with a grain of salt because you have to remember that one of my favorite genres of films are 80s
Shitty.
One Crazy Night movies.
Shitty 80s movies.
All right?
Sorry, fine.
Anyway, What was I saying? Yes. So the only thing that I need to see from this movie, before I stamp it a complete makeover, is they need to sing a song in a bar full of bikers that want to kill them.
I'm pretty sure.
Did they do that in Adventures in Babysitting?
Yes,
I'm pretty sure that's in there.
So.
But our friend from Moon is in it.
Yeah.
Method Man's in it as well, if you want to go down that road.
He was in Wild, so you get off.
I actually like Method Man.
I think
if it weren't for the fact that he's decided that
to be part of the Wu-Tang Clan.
No, Wu-Tang Clan is awesome.
No, they are not.
Yes, they are.
You go back and listen to
that. Ash rules everything around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
what was that shitty song that came out long time ago, Gravel Pit?
Hey, Gravel Pit was kind of cool.
In the gravel
pit. Oh,
shut up. It is no worse than any other popular rap song.
Oh yeah, we're really high.
Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, I think it's sad that he's decided that in terms of an acting career, any role he takes must center around the smoking of, or the reminiscing of smoking of some sort of herb or spice. And so that is unfortunate, because both him and Redman, who for some reason had teamed up for a lot of movies, are actually...
A lot of movies? There was just the one, wasn't there?
No, man, there were in a couple more, I think. They're actually decent, I don't want to say actors, but at least...
Oh my god.
Yeah, they're actually decent.
At least...
They're not actors.
They can emote and they can...
They're decent weed smokers.
They can, like...
Also, they're better than...
They're better than bad actors. They may
Kirsten
not be...
Kirsten Stewart.
Yeah. You look at them and you're like, this is a real person talking. I can live with that.
Yeah, Method Man does well in his niche roles that people cast him in. He's someone who I'm happy to see typecast.
Yeah.
Damien?
Oh, right. The dude from Moon is in it. I like Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell!
Have you seen Cowboys and Aliens yet?
No.
There's no reason for that.
No, not really. There isn't no.
Oh yeah, that's true. You like that kind of movie, don't
yes.
you?
I went to watch.
Looks lame,
I couldn't get into it, so I watched Harry Potter instead.
Really?
I was going to hold off and not watch Harry Potter, but
you watched it in super duper 3D.
In super duper 3D. Let's not talk about Harry Potter. I'm just going to get angry again.
Yeah, that movie was.
Right, so the sit-out.
That movie was
right.
The end of a movie.
So,
right, well, they ended it. Alright. There's a dragon. There be dragons. I like dragons. yeah, alright. The sit-out looks bad. And Jonah Hill is playing himself again. He's getting to the Michael Cera point where I'm going to start pretty soon hating him in movies, because I know he's going to do the same thing over and over again. But until that time comes, I'm just going to continue watching him. Sam Rockwell is in it, so I'm going to watch it. And hope for the best. I've done that with a lot of other terrible movies that I shouldn't have. So we'll see why. Although I should stop and just go back and watch good movies. I think I need to draw. That's good. No, I'm not watching terrible movies anymore. There's too many.
I thought you said you already made that decision.
Yeah, but I don't stick to it all the time, though. That should be a firm decision that I make.
Okay.
But sometimes it's hard to decipher good movies. There's movies I think should be good, like Super, that don't turn out that good.
I want to wait until I watch Super like a second time to officially say it wasn't good.
Nah. it just wasn't that good.
Didn't I tell you? I told you this from the beginning.
Yes, you did.
Never been.
Oh, you are. You're right, Douglas. Is that what you want to hear? Douglas, you're right. You feel better now?
But as I said, it feels like one of those movies that after you watch it like two or three times, you're like, okay.
Right, maybe.
So, Andrew, what did you think of the sit-off?
The sit-off? It looks like a movie that I will personally find really, really funny. Because I'm still not tired of Jonah Hill. And
you're not tired of the same jokes?
No.
Nah.
The
best, in my opinion, joke about eating out a girl was in a way we go. It tastes different.
That was like one of the most hilarious amazing. Scenes ever.
Amazing.
You know what they say?
he's like
this or
I just love how he tries to break it as easily as possible. He's like, no honey, don't take this the wrong way, but
no, but he doesn't even say it like that. Like, he doesn't expect there to be anything. He just says it tastes different. You know what they say? That's what he's like Nicholas, he's like actually just giving you the
oblivious to what is happening around you. So amazing.
They say that happens whenever.
Funnily enough, my favorite little bit in the trailer is the end when he's talking to that guy and he just says random little catchy phrases, you know, trying to be all life knowledge-y.
Is Black Dynamite going to be in this? Then I'm not interested.
Oh, talking about Black Dynamite. We all know that there's going to be a Cartoon Network like little show done by the same people who did the Boondocks okay. cartoon. And
is that supposed to be a good spot on the resume? Because I've watched the Boondocks.
I love the Boondocks.
Thank you.
You will not see anything
no,
bad
like,
about
the thing
the
is, I like the comic. I used to read the comic religiously.
You go to hell,
that
sir.
Cartoon is disgusting.
You go to hell, sir. Uncle Rocco.
They released online the pilot to the Black Dynamite cartoon, and I have to say they brought back all the voices from the original show. Michael Jai White is there. The dude who did all of them are back, and
is it amazing?
It is amazing. It's in the same hilarious note as Boondocks, and it's going to be fantastic.
Has this come out yet?
It's online. They have the pilot. I don't think the show is going to air for another couple of months.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
Let's go.
I missed out like a step there, and I thought you were talking in the future then.
No.
I
did not travel to the future.
And he has
I have been to the future. The blue stocks have turned red.
And of course, in the pilot, they point their guns at Sesame Street, and it's hilarious.
I'm on board. I'm on board.
But anyways, we were talking about the sitter, and yeah, whatever. Let's move on to the next trailer. Oh, I should have mentioned the worst part, which would have immediately gotten all of you guys to hate this movie. It's directed by David Gordon Green.
I know this.
I like him. No. What's he done?
Pineapple Express.
Right. Pineapple Express
right.
is funny.
Right, we
he
like
also
that.
Did
like
the
that.
Your Highness.
Your Highness.
I still haven't seen
all the real girls.
I see. You
still
like
haven't
to,
seen
you like to keep your,
right.
your perspective
exactly.
fresh
exactly.
and contained.
I like Pineapple Express.
Understand.
I don't
right,
know
so,
you
what
should
is your
keep
Highness
that way.
Thing that you keep talking about.
So another trailer that came out in the last couple of weeks that I always talk about is the trailer for A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
I hope you're still alive.
What are you talking about?
We saw you get shot.
In that whorehouse?
In Texas.
You branded a prostitute.
Remember?
You have to be more specific.
A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. In 3D.
Why don't you take your sweater off? For a massage. Just a couple girlfriends.
Okay. Get off of me! Oh, I thought you were gay!
I am gay. Gay for that.
Which is the third in the trilogy of Harold and Kumar films.
Can I just talk quickly?
And it stars sure. Neil Patrick Harris, it stars Harold,
yeah,
and it stars
Harold.
Kumar, and it's
Douglas.
In 3D.
Yeah,
Douglas.
I didn't really watch this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to watch this trailer.
Right.
It's Harold and Kumar.
Mm-hmm.
And an added bonus, I didn't even need it, but I kind of assumed it was there. You just told me NPH is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. I'm going. I'm watching. I'm paying more.
Right. But the first one was amazing.
Yeah.
Second one, not so much. This trailer is horrendous.
It is.
wow. But I'm still going to watch it.
But
Damian,
the 3D is amazing.
Damian, don't do this. Be strong, Damian. You know it's going to be bad.
Look. In the trailer, they say Avatar did.
Are about 5%, Damian. Just no. Guys, no. Right, if you're going to base your movie decisions on trailers, we cannot watch this.
You know what? He got better.
Who got better?
Kumar. He went and he worked for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, made him more grounded. Which
what
is what you need.
What
for
are you talking about,
Kumar
movie. So, in case people haven't seen the trailer, and you really shouldn't, they shoot Santa by accident.
And they end up going on a Christmas journey.
Neil Patrick Harris goes to heaven.
Where he meets Jesus.
There's going to be naked women. Well, partially naked women. There's going to be swearing. There's a lot of 3D.
Question. We've talked about 3D films. How many films that were shot in 3D have you seen, like, in 2D? Have you noticed, like, an obvious annoyance with when 3D is supposed to be there, but it isn't there? No? Because while watching this trailer, I mean, other than the obvious bits, like when the ping pong ball gets thrown around, or when Neil Patrick Harris throws his hat, I noticed a few slight moments which look like there was going to be 3D in the film, but because we were watching a trailer in 2D, it looked really awkward and out of place.
Right. So there's two movies that I'll talk about specifically that I saw them in 3D and 2D, and while watching them in 2D, my brain kept going, I saw this already in 3D, and the 3D was awesome. But they're both animated movies. It's Tangled and How to Train Your Dragon. And now, both of those movies look spectacular in 3D. But watching them in 2D, if you've seen the 3D already, I guess my brain was still looking for the 3D, but it doesn't really change anything.
Well, I think for animated, it'd be slightly different, though.
It's better. It's better 3D.
We've all come to the decision that animated movies make better 3D films. But in live action...
It feels...
You know what I'd say?
All right.
I saw
Green Hornet in 3D, and it was...
No, but that one wasn't shot in 3D, though. That one's converted.
It was awesome.
I've seen both those movies that Damien was talking about, and I didn't notice it, but... At the same time, I actually never watched those movies in 3D. I watched them originally in 2D. But what I can say is that there are certain films where you notice it. For example, and this is taking an extreme case, I actually haven't watched all of this movie, but I watched enough to know that I shouldn't be watching. I watched...
Step Up 3D.
No. Not quite.
I should watch it.
Drive Angry.
No, Douglas.
I watched perhaps the first 15 minutes.
Douglas, let's be clear.
Every
Douglas.
2 seconds there was
Douglas, that's
a
not a
leg
fair comparison.
Jumping in your face and
because that movie's
a gunshot going towards the screen.
We're talking about real movies. That movie's garbage.
But to tell you the truth, how many real movies are in 3D?
No, I was going to say Avatar, but that's a cartoon as
exactly.
Well.
Exactly.
I don't know. Look,
I don't think there've ever been a real movie.
As soon as
I don't think
games come out in 3D, and they make these new consoles more powerful, because the PS3 can't manage. I tried playing Gran Turismo in 3D, and I refused to lower my frame rate and resolution to accommodate the cars. I mean, it looks good, but I need the game to play how it plays. But I hear that Uncharted 3 is the best 3D that anyone has ever seen.
I just want it in 2D, I'm fine.
No, people who have gone around literally saying 3D is rubbish. Every single person that has seen that trailer in 3D went, or has seen the game in 3D went, yeah, they need that. They want to play the game in 3D. They have apparently knocked it out of the park, so I'll wait until I see that. But it's tech. If they do it well, it will look good, and if they don't, it'll look shitty. Hopefully
Tintin
is supposed to be some next level shit with 3D. We'll have to wait that.
Man. Hey, old lady. TJ, who is this?
My name's Hesher.
I'm a friend of your son's.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here, dude?
Hester, is that a name?
Ah! You're not that fast, I'll stick my head in the toilet. And just stand there and watch him do it. Get out of my grandma's house.
Hey! Dude? Oh! Okay. Where are you going? I'll give you a ride.
Damien asked us to watch this new film, Hesha, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Cobra!
Thank you.
Rainn Wilson, Natalie Portman, as well as Devin Brochu. I think that's how you pronounce his name. There are many films which deal with grief, misery, and depression. And there are many ways that they've shown how people deal with their own emotions in this time. Some people will lie on the couch in their underwear all day, every day. Some people will kick over a table. Some people will just randomly try to find their old car and refuse to get out of it.
Some people look at sparkling vampires.
Some people look at sparkling vampires. Hesha comes into their lives and is basically the catalyst for what gets them past their grief and misery. While doing his own insane destruction at every point possible. The question I have for you guys is, was this movie there just to make you feel sad for these people, or was it there for you to try and watch them get over their sadness? And Damien looks perplexed.
You're damn right. Twisting my brain in knots. I'm not going to ignore your question.
Andrew fails.
Yeah. So, when we saw the trailer, I was hoping that Hesha was a figment of the child's imagination. That was my hope. Because that would have been awesome. Sadly, he's not. He is a real person. But Cobra Commander finds a way to make this person a lot larger than life. He is a complete lunatic. He first interacts with TJ after he flips his bike and throws a rock through a window, alerting the security guards. And then Hesha throws what had to be the world's greatest dirty bomb through a window and blows up absolutely nothing. It is the greatest explosion you've ever seen, and nothing is affected. No one dies, nothing breaks. And at that point, you realize that there's something not quite right with what this movie is trying to tell you. As Andrew said, Hesha is the catalyst for these people getting over their grief. This young child is clinging on to the last memory he has of his mother, essentially. They were in a car accident, and the car has now been taken away and needs to be disposed of, and he wants to get back the car, but he's too young. And Hesha comes into his life to, show him the way, except he's doing none of that. He is destructive. And it is fun to watch. At the end of this movie, they try to tell, they try to tie it up with a pretty flimsy excuse for a resolution. But the journey that Hesha takes you on is so ridiculous that you're just enamored with this character. You can't take your eyes off him. He is so ridiculous. He doesn't work. We have no idea how old he is. He runs over children. He lights things on fire. He threatens to kill everyone and everything. And yet he is supposedly this gentle person who is good with this grandmother character, which the grandmother character feels out of place pretty much the entire time of the movie. But Hesha is so, there's so much craziness going on that you just go along with the ride. it's trying to tell some story and trying to give some moral at the end. And at some point, I guess someone decided that this movie should have heart. But it was way too late by the time they got onto that. And it...
As Hesha said, and then I saw my right nut.
Pretty much. Yeah, this movie's just craziness. But I enjoy it. I enjoy all the craziness. And it is one of those movies that I know I can't recommend to 99% of the people that I come across. But for the other 1%, like you guys, I think you guys will enjoy watching this movie.
Damon.
Yes.
What I have to say to you about what you just said is fairly simple. Fuck the journey.
Okay.
This movie.
Movies are supposed to tell stories, though.
No. Fuck it. Okay. Let me be a bit more specific. Fuck this journey. This movie is not very good. This movie is
a collection of seeds.
It's the classic. It's a cliche of the it's not quite a cliche, but at its core it's a cliche of inserting a wild and crazy character in order to get somebody who's stuck in life
to
for whatever reason or another to change a perspective, to move on from whatever huge obstacle they have in front of them. And if I wanted to watch that movie, and if I wanted to watch a good version of that movie, I'd watch Fight Club. Because
the first one, Fight Club.
We don't talk about that. But
this podcast is not over. Douglas has been killed.
Derailed.
No, this, and even, you know me, I am probably one of the biggest proponent of Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Cobra Commander.
Hold on, question.
Yeah?
Is he now called Cobra Hesha Commando? Does Hesha come into...
No,
it isn't deserving.
Cobra.
It's
no,
just making
no,
sure.
No.
Just curious.
Cobra. So I'm one of his biggest proponents. And I like him in about 99.100% of the things that he does.
And he was good in this movie.
And in a sense, you're right, he was good in this movie. But I just think that this movie... what he was good as was not good. It was not entertaining. It was very... As you said, he was very crazy. He had all of these, crazy stories that were supposed to play as, oh, I don't understand where he's coming from. And then in the end, I see what he's trying to tell me. He's trying to give me a take on life that helps me. No. This movie is a sum of a lot of random events, which don't quite come together cohesively, don't quite make sense, and if I were Child Protective Services, I would take that child away from Rainn Wilson, because if you just let a random arsonist slash
drug dealer
slash road rage...
When did he deal drugs?
He used drugs. Let's not split hairs.
About selling drugs.
Let's not split hairs here.
My question is, when will movies stop putting gorgeous women and pretend giving them glasses?
They tried
hard. Right? Yeah, but then they threw her in the pool and then she came up and said, "Oh right, Natalie Portman." All right. Oh, your life don't have to suck. You could be a model. How about that? No? Alright. They need to stop it. It's really... Like, if they're good... You can't find regular people. Right? Or get Greta Gerwig. Call her.
Oh, shut up.
What the hell?
Look.
Listen.
She is pretty. Right? But at least she can play a convincing regular person.
Alright, I get
Natalie
that.
Natalie Portman cannot.
That's actually what the problem is.
Exactly. Natalie Portman.
What do you think about Charlize Theron in Monster kind of deal?
But that is complete. And again, even then, they could have found a better actress who was not that. The amount of effort they had to go through to make this gorgeous woman into an ordinary look, because no matter how hard they tried, she didn't look that ugly. Right? You're like, I still kind of see Charlize Theron somewhere in there. They could, should just get normal looking people who can act. How about that, guys?
Right.
Why was Ray Liotta in this movie? Just to put another name in there, cause he
is he even
anything.
A name? No,
he didn't do anything.
No, he was just a
he was just
he wants
there.
To build his street cred. First, he's in Super. Uh-huh. Now he's in Hesha. Next thing you're gonna hear, he's in some sort.
All festival-y movies.
Exactly.
Hesha is one of the best movies of this year so far, and I know Damien said he enjoyed.
No. Seriously, are we watching the same movies? No.
I know me and Damien disagreed, but but both of us kind of came to the conclusion
right.
that this was, not that great.
I like the movie, right, because it's non-stop craziness, but it's not really that good a movie. Douglas wasn't as enamored with the craziness, so it's just the not good a movie part that has filtered out. But you have bypassed all of that. They told no story, nothing intelligent happened, and then they threw in some harsh shit ending.
You know what? No,
and
no.
It's your favorite movie.
Here's why.
One of.
Because it's a non-fictitious character.
Right.
I don't understand what's the difference between a fictitious character and a non-fictitious character in pieces of fiction.
That is why me and Douglas are laughing at you, because you said this fictitious character. Where do you get this from?
I think the honest one is trying to say, right, because in Wilfred it's a dog, and clearly the dog cannot be real. It must be some sort of
the dog is real.
Right? But not
in
this person
world.
In the dog.
Fair enough. But in the world that they have constructed,
yeah.
The dog is not a fictitious
character. That's exactly
the what dog is real.
But Wilfred is not.
Oh my god. And Hesha is not a fictitious character. No?
I used the wrong word, okay?
Yeah, right, you did.
Sorry, Andrew, we interrupted.
We're
what
terrible
were you
people.
To say?
I'm pretty sure you know.
But what were you going to
I think I said this movie was shit, didn't I?
No. Amazing.
I can cut this however
right.
I want.
Right.
Hesha is honestly one of my favorite movies this year. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is fantastic.
Right.
I love Natalie Portman in the movie, and I love whoever played that little child.
Natalie Portman didn't do anything in this movie. We didn't see that. We saw her pack groceries and kick a car. That's all we saw. And wear the worst glasses in history. That's pretty much it. That's all she did. What did you do to develop any story? I don't understand.
I think all I've said is this movie is my favorite movie of the year.
Natalie Portman. I get that. I love Natalie Portman. Right.
There ain't nothing wrong with wanting pussy.
But she does nothing in this movie. So you like Hesha, why?
I like it mostly because there is so much to uncover from the film. And I can tell this because I actually watched this movie a second time
right.
a couple of days ago. And there are scenes where things that you just brushed aside as useless metaphors that didn't mean anything actually meant something. References were made that I didn't catch on the first time. Like, there's a scene, and you see it in a lot of the press photos and in the trailer and teaser, where he's basically fucking up this random dude's pool. And you realize really quickly that while he's messing up this dude's pool, that it's all a reference to Star Wars.
Wait, sorry, you did not get that the first time you watched it?
First time I watched it, I just heard gibberish.
You didn't get it when he said, R2, please stop the trash compactor. You didn't get that?
I didn't get that at first, I don't know why.
I still don't get that for what is that in reference to?
To in A New Hope when they're in the garbage.
Right.
Damien just looks unimpressed. That's what he's like, Andrew, why are you talking about this? This movie's bad.
Okay. A reference to Star Wars.
Really?
Original.
I
mean,
oh my God, that was so clear to me. I was like, actually at that point I was like, oh, maybe there is. No, there is.
I mean, there's so many scenes which I just I just felt engaged by the film, and the whole thing that I love the most about this movie was the fact that I spoke about it earlier when I was talking about the Beaver and movies trying to convey an emotion in such a way that they make you feel the emotion for the character, and that's what Hesher did. The movie was trying to play up the grief and the misery, and it got to the point where I completely understood the emotion of these characters and felt it for them, which is what I love so much about the movie. Even though at the same time you have Hesher in the middle of it telling you metaphors about he was having sex with four women in the back of his van one time and all sorts of madness, it just got me from beginning to pretty much end. Because honestly, the only thing that I will complain about this movie is that at the end when they have a say, I don't want to say what it is, there is a scene which happens in slow motion towards the end of the movie, and that was probably the first time in this movie where I felt it
overreached.
It knew it wanted you to hit this emotional point of getting over the grief and misery, and decided that since it's already spent 95 minutes or however long it is dealing with the grief and misery, it's saying, shit, we only have 2 minutes to do this, so we're going to do it in this slow motion scene, which makes you immediately know, and it puts in the music and it cuts to everyone's close up where you get to see, oh, they're all together in this. It's one of those moments, and you just purposely want to feel that, but it overreached there. Otherwise, I thought this movie was pretty fantastic. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt is great. He should be nominated for this movie. So it's all pretty spread out about Hesher. Douglas didn't like it. Yes. Damien had good things to say but wasn't completely in love.
I like the same things that you like. I just know that it wasn't that good a movie. I like the craziness. It was fun to watch. I enjoyed the performances. It's just that the story that they told was pretty mediocre, and it's a story that they've mined that story many times and a lot
and
better.
Done, exactly. As I said, I have this Blu-ray. I'm gonna show it to you. It's called Fight Club, and it's really good.
Pretty good.
I loved it, and I think this movie has given me one of probably the funniest moments of this year in film, because it had me in stitches for about 20 minutes, and even when I watched it the second time, I was still laughing. What's green, slimy, and smells like pork? And they answered that question, and I found it funny.
Hilarious. Not the That's how funny it was. Dead.
And real wrong.
Okay, questions.
Fair enough.
So on to questions. We're tied at this point. You guys are tied.
Uh-huh.
So Damien, your purpose is to lose so that you don't have to do the outro.
Pretty much.
Right.
Douglas is asleep.
So here are the rest of the questions that we have left for today. Is there any other musical movie like Titanic, Damien? That's wrong.
Titanic the music. Of course. I saw Titanic the music. Musical Titanic.
Is there any other musical like Titanic?
That's the one we share, right?
Right. Yes.
That's the one we share.
Damien wins a point because he left. He left. Looking for a good movie with an underrated villain. Underrated in all caps, Douglas.
Underrated villain?
What?
Hesha.
Was Hesha the villain?
Underrated villain? Is there such a thing? Have you ever heard that phrase anywhere? No. Underrated villain? Mumra? I don't know. The battleships in that battleship movie.
Both of y'all get zero.
Who are these idiots?
When the Pokemon movie 14... What, yes. Is this actually English? When the Pokemon movie 14 will come out in Australia? Question mark.
2026.
According to the Aztecs, next year, right? The apocalypse. I'm pretty sure that's what they predicted. Pokemon 14. That's the end of the Aztec calendar, right? Yeah, pretty sure that's it.
I give a point to Damien. That's like 3-1. You're winning. You're doing it wrong. Is the butterfly effect real? Question. Is the movie scary?
No, and only if you're crazy.
Yes, the butterfly effect is real. What's the second part of the question?
The second part of the question, is the movie scary?
It is very scary. I saw Kutcher's in that movie. Be very afraid. It's terrible, terrible.
I'm very uninspired by all your answers.
Where do these people come from?
You're the one who find these questions.
But I don't remember them. I see them laugh, I go, alright, we need to answer this.
Alright, last question I want to ask you guys. If Transformers are from another planet, why do they look exactly like our automobiles and airplanes?
Because they're made out of Lego.
I love this question. That's actually the one question that Michael Bay bothers to answer. And this does that. This goes harder than that. Right? No, he doesn't answer why they're flying from the coldest of space and come to a warm planet and freeze to death. He doesn't answer that. He doesn't answer why they need humans. He doesn't answer a lot of things. What he does answer
is why they're into the cars and airplanes.
Oh my god, I hate these people. I'm not going by my Yahoo answers.
Okay, so this question isn't for Douglas and Damon to answer because it's just too easy. This is for you guys out there to answer. Send us responses. You can answer me on Twitter, @GManReviews, or send it to my email, andrew.arbrinson@gmanreviews.com. And the question is, in quotations, I'm gay, song in a movie. Damien won the game, so he has to do the outro.
Thank you all for listening to the Thump podcast, the unnamed movie podcast for the uninitiated.
The unnamed movie podcast.
So it's TT. We're remixing the podcast. Andrew here, he's our fearless leader. Fearless indeed. You can find him pretty much everywhere. He's a whore to social networking. At Andrew Robinson or some shit. Douglas is at DJ, I lost his name.
I like how you didn't remember his name, but also, you can't remember it.
No, I did that on purpose.
I know.
Also, social media whore. I'm pretty sure he's on Friends and High Five still. I don't know why. It's really sad. He should really stop, because no one cares. I'm on Google Plus, at Damien White. Shocking, I know. No imagination. You can send me an email at DamienWhite at all the three major email places. You can hear this podcast at gmanreviews.com or the podcast alley. You can review us on iTunes. their God reviews on iTunes and make it be 5 stars but trash our podcast. So we have something to laugh at and you would have benefited us in some way.
Wait, have we gotten any reviews after that one horrible review, like the first time?
It was so amazing.
First week.
It was so amazing. So, thanks again for listening. For Andrew, Douglas and myself, we bid you a terrible, terrible week. And because you all have work, we don't care how happy your lives are, how this podcast will bring joy to your life. Because we can't. You can't help it. We're so good at this podcasting thing. We'll take on any other podcast except This American Life, because those guys are cheating. No podcast is that good. And we're out.